0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. So whatever way you define history, good, bad or indifferent, it is about to unfold in New York this afternoon, or this evening for us, afternoon for them, when former President Donald J. Trump is formally indicted and arraigned before a court in Manhattan. Mike Kelleher, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Mike is grand.
Mike is grand. Does Mike always speak about himself in the third person, or how should I address him?
You're breaking there, but you're asking me what do I think of the present with Donald Trump. Is that it?
Well, you leap straight into that then. Go on.
Well, the thing, what I would describe it as, let's put it by, in case the listeners are out there, I'm an American citizen by naturalization. I served in the U.S. military. I served a large part of my life as a police officer there. So I know a little bit about the working of America. But the thing about it is, with Donald Trump at the moment, this is what you would call dirty politics, to like being in a slurry tank. And that's what it is. The Democrats, let me sum it up this way. I just got back from the States. And many times one of our cameraman that we have out there when he's reporting, he reports all the lovely little details about America. Now, I'm somebody that loves the country, but if you were to go along today and go through the major cities in America, Philadelphia, Detroit, forget Detroit, that's a disaster. Go to a city where I live, got married, met my wife there, San Francisco. I cry to see what it's like today. And Chicago is a place where I lived until I was drafted in the military. I was there. Chicago is a mayoral election at the moment out there. And if they want to talk about dirty politics, this is the worst.
But Mike,
even outright
Mike,
racist.
Mike, if you were a man who swore to uphold and protect the United States, surely you're also a man who believes that no individual should be above the law.
And go expand on that. Who do you think is above the law? Give me your opinion on that.
Well, what I'm suggesting to you is that if there is a properly constituted legal authorities think that Donald J. Trump has a case to answer, well, then that he should be made to answer that case, no?
The only case he's to answer is giving a bit of money to Stormy Daniels. Listen, there's been hush money being given there since Jesus was a boy. That's nothing new in American politics. And if they want to take that one to court with them, I'll tell you something. Any law student after 1 year inside their studying would be able to beat that rap. It's straight up dirty politics. We have a different.
But Mike, you're absolutely right that you know the paying of the money to Stormy Daniels isn't the issue. The issue is how that was classified and did it become effectively an election expense and one that wasn't declared.
That's a matter for the Intel Revenue, the financial people to do that. That's not being challenged at the moment. The main one thing is Stormy Daniels inside, and did he lie or did he not lie inside there? Look, we could spend all day talking about going up in going up. I seen people when I was a police officer inside there, and they're going up there, and they after killing somebody inside there, and you get them with the gun smoking. They stand up there. Oh, Your Honor, I had nothing to do with it. I got that gun. That wasn't mine at all. That's nonsense.
What do you expect is going to happen here, Mike? Do you think that he'll beat this rap?
He'll beat this rap. No, it will be dragged out. Look, it's like this. As Dan O'Connell said, he could drive a coach and forth through any court to produce justice. They can do that over there. But it's just the Democrats are in a bad position at the moment because Joe Biden, who I voted for in the last election, do you know what San Francisco is like at the moment with the amount of people flooding in over the Mexican border?
Okay, come back one sentence there because I'm a little bit confused. I thought I had you triangulated properly here. You're a Trump fan, you're a Trump supporter, you want to see him beat this, you think it's an example of dirty politics, but you voted for Biden.
I voted for Donald Trump the first time because he was against Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton was a disaster. She was the second worst Secretary of State in the history.
Okay, but what made you change your mind about Trump in the 4 years that he was in power that you voted for Biden?
When Donald Trump came up when he was on the debate with Joe Biden, I thought he was dirty when he started talking about Joe Biden's son having drug problems and these things and talking. You don't do those things. There's nobody listening to this program today who somebody in their family hasn't some bit of a problem or not, and you don't stand up in your butter box and preach that to the public. When he said that, I lost faith in Donald Trump. Now, Joe Biden...
So would you vote for him in November 2024?
I will vote on the election. I've always voted.
But would you vote for Donald Trump again?
No, that is on the day in question. I would have to think about it. If Joe Biden is running for president, then I'd have thoughts about it. Because the way the United States is gone at the moment, with his liberal agendas, law enforcement over there is non-existent now. That could be a program I could talk an hour about it. It's literally non-existent. The cops are the criminals are running the roost now. The cops are quitting in most major cities. They can't even recruit them. It was a mark. It was a thing of pride once, especially if you were Irish, to join the police or fire department. They were great jobs. You had your paycheck every Friday and your pension. They can't find them now. And anybody joining there at the present moment in those jobs, they're not like the old the ones with common sense like there was in the days of old.
Okay, Mike, do you know something, though? I have read, and I can't stand over this as being absolutely the truth, but I have read the suggestion that it's not actually the crime rates that have increased. It's the politicians talking about crime and using crime to their own ends. It's the media coverage of crime that has actually increased. But the crime rates themselves are pretty much the same as they were before Biden was elected, before Trump was elected.
Look at the statistics in places like Chicago with the shootings and the murder rate there. I won't even come there, or you can look it up and Google it and you'll see it. It is just totally out of hand. By the way, there is one little thing that's happening in law enforcement in the States. I remember when I was a rookie and you'd be talking to the old lads and they'd point out to you, that fella there is a burglar, that fella there is a 211 man, that's a robber inside there. And you'd be keeping an eye on somebody like that. You cannot stop somebody in the street now and stop them. And this happened with a friend of mine. His father was from Ireland. He's a cop in Chicago. He stopped somebody who, when he checked them out, they had a gun on them. When they went to court, they were inside in court, the attorney defending the man with the gun said, "Why did you stop this man?" And the cop said, "Because he looks suspicious." And all the attorney said to the cop is, "Defined suspicion, because he was black, is it?" Well, he said, he gave him his answer for it. The end of that story is the man with the gun was walked out of the court free. The gun was confiscated from him. And the judge told the cop, "From now on, if you're stopping somebody, you must have reasonable cause." And define reasonable cause. Unless they have a red hat and the yellow trousers, and somebody said they saw this man robbing. So the result is, by the way, that cop was suspended over making an illegal arrest.
All right, we got a little bit off topic here, Mike, but let me just bring in Liam O'Toole, who is another Donald Trump fan. Good afternoon, Liam. How are you?
Hello there, how are you? Good afternoon.
Do you think he's going to beat this?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, when you look at the cover-ups before with the previous presidents in the past, it's all a joke, really. We'll take Clinton there as an example there. He paid off $850,000 to Paula Jones. Nobody has mentioned that. Why wasn't he indicted?
He was pursued from pillar to post by a special counsel for the entire duration of his presidency.
Well, sir, he paid off people. I mean, if you were to look into that girl, Stormy, what's her name again?
Stephanie Clifford, Stormy Daniels, yeah.
Yeah. So if you're looking to her, I mean, I'm sure the other party paid her to go in there and have an affair with Trump just so they'd have something on him.
Shred of evidence to support a claim like that, Liam?
Well, there's where they should be looking, really. Of course, to set him up. It's a set-up job.
Liam, have you a shred of evidence?
Actually, you don't need it. You don't need it. American politics, like that previous
guy said there. You don't need evidence to make claims.
It's dirty politics. That's what you call it. Dirty politics.
Okay, it may
or
may not.
The girl was set up. She was probably given another $130,000 to go in there to sleep with him. Easy job.
Okay. All right, I'm going to stop you now, unless there's, you know, just one iota of evidence to support anything that you're saying here, Liam. This conversation isn't going to go a whole lot further, and you'd have to understand why. You can't have people coming on and just making stuff up to entertain themselves, can we?
They all pay the money at the end of the day to shut people's mouths and what have you. And that girl has probably said, I'm just saying it's the way
no,
it is, you know.
All right, Liam, good afternoon.
I'm a bit like Donald.
Good afternoon to you, Liam. Take care. Good luck. Bye-bye. Fiona Whelan Prime, good afternoon. How are you?
Can I come back in for one more minute?
No, Mike, hang on. I want to bring somebody else in here. Fiona Whelan Prime, good afternoon. How are you? Where are you? You're calling us from Nashville.
No, I'm in Kinvara, County Galway. I flew in this morning.
From Nashville.
I just landed a couple of hours ago from Nashville, Tennessee, and drove across country. It was a beautiful morning here in Ireland.
So you left just as the Three Ring Circus is assembling in Manhattan. What were your feelings on your departure?
The last several years it's always been a relief to know that I'm going to come here and... Not that Ireland...
Fiona, I can barely make out what you're saying, unfortunately. That line is just not great. So what we'll do is we'll sort it out. In the meantime, I'll go back to Mike. Sorry, I interrupted you there, Mike, to try and talk to Fiona. My mistake. Tell me, what was it you wanted to say?
The question I want to ask and ask you should be asking me is, if Joe Biden runs for president of the United States, will he get re-elected? Is that the question you'd like to ask me?
Well, I'm not sure that it is. We were talking about Donald Trump, but I suspect you want to give me an answer, so away you go.
But you see, Donald Trump is relevant to Joe Biden, because one thing about it at the moment, the only opposition to Joe Biden at the moment, the only Republican that have put up their hand so far is Donald Trump. And believe it or not, as bad as he might look to the media and so on and so forth, there's nobody in the Republican Party yet that look anywhere popular. Now, you ask me, would Joe Biden get re-elected? The problem is no, because everywhere I went in the States, traveling from San Francisco to Boston, and I asked people, average working people, they're fed up of the liberal policies of the Democrats. Surprisingly, now there's the liberal agenda, of course, like some of our political parties here, who have answers to everything, but that's the thing that's worrying the Democrats of the States in the moment. They're in trouble with Joe. He's a very nice man. He's a nice man to us Irish here. We're looking at him, and he'll come here maybe in a week or two, and we'll be clapping him on the back. But other than that, Joe is a disaster. What's happening within the States itself? Okay?
Mike, come back one second, though, and tell me, in your heart of hearts, as a Trump voter and as a Biden voter, that if you had the choice of the two men to run the country from 2024 on, who would your honest choice be? Who do you think is going to do a better job?
You're after asking the sixth question, but let me answer it to you. Donald Trump does not impress me. He's not the type of man I would like to see as president. I'd love to see a president like Harry Truman. Harry Truman was my president inside here. No bullshit out of that man. Tortoise as he saw it inside here. He was not a politician. In fact, when he was nominated for the party, in fact, he was their last choice.
I know, but you know something, Mike? His name isn't going to be on the ballot paper in November of 2024.
You asked me the question. If it came down to it, with my heart on my hand, or my hand on my heart, whatever, I probably would vote for Joe Biden, but I'd have second thoughts about it.
All right. You do it while holding your nose at the same time. I understand that. Let me go back to Fiona here in Donegal by way of Nashville and see if we've improved on the quality of that line. Fiona, what were you saying to me?
Well, I should tell you that I'm in Kinvara, County Galway, first of all.
Galway, sorry, excuse me.
You're fine. I just arrived here this morning. It was a relief, honestly, to get out of America for a little while. Politics has become, as one of your guests said, it's become a dirty business. It's really, the way I look at it, it's a whole series of sideshows and distractions to keep Americans focused on what keep their focus away from the real issues. And the real issues are everything from systemic racism to the fact that there's more guns in America than there is in any other country in the world. Just in Nashville this week, three small children were killed in their classrooms. Three teachers also died at the same time. And that's the reality of America. But meanwhile, we're looking at this three-ring circus, a man who's going to be indicted, not because he paid off a porn star. I mean, one of your guests said that that was what he was being charged with. That is not a crime. That is not a crime. What is a crime is when you cover up that payment and you filter that money through your campaign finances. That's against the law.
So, Fiona, are you saying to me that you would just prefer not to see this spectacle unfold over the course of the next however many months, or are you saying that they shouldn't be prosecuting him, that this shouldn't be the distraction that it is going to be for the next year?
What I don't understand, and again, this is really more about how life in America has degenerated into these sideshows. The media, both conservative and liberal media, have had their cameras trained on Mar-a-Lago, down in Florida, for the last, 48 hours. It's wall-to-wall, hour-by-hour, 24-hour coverage of this man who is being indicted on charges we still don't know what the charges are, but no one is above the law. I don't. The three-ring circus around this whole thing is what I object to. He will stand before a judge. He will be fingerprinted. He will be mugshotted or not, and then he will go back to Mar-a-Lago and he'll hold a press conference. And every journalist, every network TV, cable TV in America will be there to listen. It will be broadcast.
And is that your problem, that it is just, it's all consuming and it's sucking all the oxygen out of the room?
Yes. Yes. Meanwhile, there are children being killed in classrooms. Meanwhile, they're attacking drag queens. It is now becoming, it's illegal in Tennessee to perform at a drag show. I mean, think about it. If the pantomimes at the Gaiety would be illegal. They're taking books out of libraries. Gun violence is through the roof. You've got systemic racism. I mean, on and on and on. Very serious issues that there are a lot of people working very hard to push back against and to improve the lives of Americans. But that's not what the media are focusing on. Meanwhile, they're focusing on this individual who has just held America captive by being an entertainer.
Do you think that if perhaps the man who is the figurehood for many of the movements that you're talking about as having a problem with there was, or had the rug swept out from underneath him by the legal system and ended up convicted, that many of those causes, many of those protest movements and campaigns would lose their impetus with their figurehead gone?
Absolutely.
So that's a reason then, isn't it, for continuing with this indictment?
Well, I think he was already starting to, you know, he was, I mean, obviously he has a huge hold on the Republican Party. I mean, you just look at the leadership in Congress in America, everyone from the Speaker of the House to the leader of the Democrats and the Republicans in the Senate. They're all beholden to him. But he has started to fade from the public consciousness, right? We weren't seeing him on every newspaper. We weren't seeing him on every TV show every single day. But this has put him right back on the front page. Now, whether he is guilty or not, that's up to a judge and a jury of his peers to decide. That's not for me to decide. But I personally don't want to watch the circus. I am very active in my community back in Nashville. I'm involved in trying to turn back some of these ridiculous gun laws. Right now, you can be 18 years old in Nashville, Tennessee, and you can walk on the street with a packed, loaded gun without a permit.
Wow.
And that's what we're dealing with, right?
5551
right?
is the...
Going to,
Sorry, Fiona, finish that point.
I was going to say my grandchildren go to school in Nashville. My grandchildren go to school in Nashville, and honestly, I'm terrified. And I'm, that's not an exaggeration or a platitude. No, I think about them every day, and I pray to God that their school is not next.
Absolutely understand why. 51551 for your text messages. Let me go to Joe Huff in Rockville, Maryland, in the United States. Joe, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. So tell me, what do you make of what's about to unfold in Manhattan today?
Well, I believe that the media and the Democrats and the liberals in America will hand over the nomination to Donald Trump, hands down. I believe this is a political witch hunt, and this is politically motivated, and this is a real problem because they're starting dumpster fires all over in America to take away the focus of what the liberals and the Democrats and Biden family, what they're really doing. They are the corrupt family. They are beholden to China, and they are literally ruining this country.
Okay, there's an awful lot to unpack there, Joe. Let's just go back a little bit to the start. Explain something to me, please. If this is just entirely politically motivated and there isn't actually a criminal case for him to answer here, why is it that a very young, ambitious DA at the start of his career would choose a case that, as you're saying, doesn't and shouldn't succeed because there isn't any evidence to support him? Why would he do that? Why would this case have been brought if it was not going to have some chance of success?
Because George Soros paid Bragg to bring this case to light again after the last prosecutor couldn't bring it to light.
Joe, what's the evidence for that?
Well, George Soros pays a lot of these Democrat DAs and prosecutors so that they go
Where did you see that, Joe?
Because they are terrified of him.
Joe, where did you see that?
I'm sorry?
Where did you see that? Where did you read this? I'm just curious as to what place it is that you're getting your information from about George Soros having district attorneys in his pocket. Joe? Oh, okay. That line seems to have...
Hello.
Sorry, yeah, you dropped out there.
No, I'm here.
Go on. Did you hear my question?
I'm just... Where did I see it? I've seen it on social media. I've seen it on the news.
Which news?
I've seen it.
Sorry, did you say Fox News?
OAN. Fox News, OAN. I've heard it on Newsmax.
Okay. None of which I'd have to say are exactly news organizations that are renowned for their journalistic rigor, should I say?
Yeah, neither is CNN or MSNBC.
An awful lot of partisan media, absolutely. But look, I haven't seen anything that's come from anywhere that would suggest that George Soros is funding district attorneys in New York to take a case like this. Not with any credibility. You're the first person to come out with something like that.
I'm sure I'm not the first person that's come out with that. You're just the first person. The New York Times talked about Alvin Bragg resurrected the case against Donald Trump.
It is true that Cy Vance, the previous district attorney, decided or went cold on the case, and Alvin Bragg, the new district attorney, came in, resurrected the case, had his prosecutors look at whether a case could be made or not.
What's the statute of limitations against something like this?
6 years?
6 years?
I think it is 6 years.
It's been over 7 years. So why do you think when Alvin Bragg
October 2016, wasn't it?
Well, whatever, but when he came in...
Well, that is 6 years.
I'm talking about Alvin Bragg, because you asked me about the district attorney of New York, who... New York is liberal, and they hate Trump. they're terrified of Trump getting elected again and being the next president of the United States again. That is true. So I just cited a source for you, the New York Times.
We should all be scared.
Fiona, go on.
I said we should all be scared that he would become president again. I think it would be I think it's very likely that he will get the nomination, and he may well become president again. That would not surprise me. But you know, America has turned a corner, and I'm not even sure there's any coming back from how far we've gone.
Because there is, as far as I know.
Are you just the lady who talked about drag queens being beat up, and you're fearful of your grandchildren going to school? You should be fearful of your grandchildren seeing drag queens in schools. That's for sure. You know why we have so many problems in America today? It's because of adults who are teaching children to believe that they are not the sex that they were born as, and that they can be anybody that they want to be and anything that they want to be. These
Joe, are you seriously trying to ascribe all the world's faults to people changing their gender?
What I'm saying is, very confusing for these kids, and this is one of the things.
Yes, but
you just said
what the problem with America today is,
and you're saying that So here's the deal: the media is the one who is captivated by Donald Trump and can't leave him alone, and silenced his First Amendment rights, and have gone after him. And you guys think that guns are the problems in America? That's not the problem.
Let Fiona back in there now, Joe.
It's our Second Amendment constitutional right.
Joe, let Fiona back in there.
Well, somebody would have to explain to me why it is a constitutional right for an 18-year-old to walk into a store and buy an AR-15 and then turn around and walk into a school and gun down children.
Joe, let Fiona talk.
It's okay for an 18-year-old to go and buy a gun and then go and kill children, but it's not okay for a performer. Well, why would they need an AR-15? Like, what is the purpose of an AR-15?
The transgender girl who went and
we're not doing that. We're not going there, Joe. And you know what? I'm afraid the quality of the phone lines also means that we can't continue this conversation, because I don't know about anybody else, but I certainly am not able to follow the thread of what's going on there. We will take a break and see if we can't improve on the transatlantic communications while doing so.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Or 51551 for the text. Mark, good afternoon. You want to know why has Donald Trump managed to evade justice for so long?
Yeah, hi, Philip. I'm just trying to get the speaker here. How are you? You see, this case that's being brought today now is, in my opinion, a relatively minor thing. But there are other things that are pending for Donald Trump that don't seem to be making progress. And can I mention just three of them, maybe? First of all, he seems to be implicated in the January 6th insurrection, where it's pretty clear that, you know, there was a set of actions in place to make sure that there was a riot on that date and so on and so forth. That's the first thing. The second thing is the phone call he made to the Secretary of State in the state of Georgia to try to find a number of votes so that he could overturn the number of votes by which Joe Biden won the presidential election. And the third thing is the fact that classified documents were found at his home in Florida, and he had to be a police raid to recover some of them, and he sort of over a long period of time refused to hand them over, etc., etc. So there are far more serious things that he's being alleged to have done, and it seems to me that the justice system that would allow over 2 years to elapse without any charges being brought has to look at itself and say, you know, why does he seem to be above the law in those respects? And I know previous callers have supported him and tried to say that it's all a media plot against him. But, I mean, we've all heard that phone call he made. That's across the airwaves. And, you know, this idea that this prosecutor is being funded by George Soros as well, that's just speculation. There is no concrete evidence of that at all. And I think you've actually had to take people off the air today by making allegations that are simply not supported by the facts.
Yeah.
But I think the three things I've mentioned are fairly sort of obvious. I mean, Trump himself admits that he had classified documents.
The thing is, though, that there may yet be indictments in all of those cases. They're just moving slowly. I mean, the fact that it has taken since, I think, what is it, 2018, since it first came to light that there was a payment to Stephanie Clifford or Stormy Daniels, it's taken that long to get this far. So, you know, January 6th, not that long ago, may yet happen.
Well, you see, the sequence of events for Donald Trump is different because once he became president, he effectively became immune from prosecution. And there was a point made about the statute of limitations in New York. And in fact, under the laws in New York, if a person is not resident in the state, which Trump wasn't, Trump was not resident in the state from the time he became president until, and then he moved to Florida. So the statute of limitations effectively stops. And this action is well within the statute of limitations. And the only reason that Trump wasn't prosecuted, allegedly, is because he was the president. His attorney at the time, Michael Cohen, went to jail for his part in this and had to plead guilty. And he was assured by Trump that he would get off, and he didn't.
Okay.
So there's a lot of history here, and I don't want to go down rabbit holes, but I'm just making the point that there are three far more serious items pending for him, and how somebody can actually also comment on social media in relation to both the prosecutor and the judge that's trying the case and make wild allegations against them and their families and get away with that, I think is amazing.
Well, he may not yet get away with that either. John O'Donovan, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Philip. How are you doing?
What did you want to say about Donald Trump?
Well, I think he sadly missed off the world stage, Philip, for the simple reason. Since he left the stage, look what has happened between Russia and Ukraine. Nobody seems to be having negotiations with North Korea. The Chinese are getting very restless and very assertive. And I put this down to one man. Donald Trump has moved off the stage, and hopefully he'll be back on again, because I think people around the world and these regimes, they were frightened of him because they were afraid. He could be a tough man. He was unpredictable. And I think since Biden went into the White House, the world has seen, and a lot of these people like the Chinese and Putin, that there is a weak man in the White House and they're exploiting it. Now, I have great time for Trump because he's pro-life and he doesn't believe in abortion, and I am pro-life. So I have great time for him on that part of his presidency.
But so are you prepared to forgive him any other sins then, because he is pro-life, John?
Well, he hasn't killed anybody, you know. I mean, let's be honest, look what went down in the White House during the Clinton period. Like, that was 10 times worse.
All right, but do you not think that a president of the free world, I suppose a leader of the free world, is somebody who should be held to a slightly higher standard than he hasn't killed anybody, you know?
Well, the fact is, like, I mean, as I said, when you were Clinton going on television and he lied to the people of the country, he says exact words were, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. He didn't even give that girl her name. So which is worse? That's 10 times worse in my book. No, as regards the morality of his marriage and everything, the way he comes up, he's not the only one, like, I mean, having extramarital affairs or messing around. I mean, that happens in all sections of society. Like,
okay.
But as regards a figure on the world stage, I think he is sadly missed.
But let's not judge him against the Bill Clinton standard. Let's judge him against his own standard. He potentially incited a riot aimed at interrupting the process that was going to elect Joe Biden to the office of presidency and to succeed him. And he did it in a way that resulted in the loss of life in January 6th.
Yeah, well, you're right. There was people lost their lives, but I mean, it was the crowd assembled, the mob. You could say, did Trump incite the mob? Whatever. But was he not entitled to question the result of the election? I mean, he wasn't in charge of the mob. He didn't lead the mob.
He didn't discourage the mob. He did arguably an awful lot to incite the mob. No, you don't. Agree, John?
No, I mean,
these are the facts.
Look at the broken promises that have been made to us down through the years here by several governments, like, of all parties. Like, I mean, the Irish people have been betrayed. So, I mean, when it comes to being betrayed and let down, look at our own.
Okay. Michael Ryan, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, how's it going?
What's your point of view on this?
I think the media is mad for Donald Trump, orange man bad. I mean, witch hunt from day one. They put everything at him. They threw everything at him, from the Mueller investigation for the Russian collusion, and nothing sticked. Nothing. Nothing stuck to Trump. What he did in terms of Georgia and looking for more votes, absolutely. He should be investigated for that. But, I mean, you compare him to every other president. Sure, Obama was a warmonger. His drone strikes killed more than anybody in the Iraq war, but nothing said about that. Just because he's a great speaker and he comes across, he's got great charisma, and because the choir is really well.
Oh, have you got a radio on there, Mike?
Sorry, no, I don't. People are going after Trump because they don't like the way he speaks. I'm not a fan of Trump. I'm in the middle, but I'll call out both sides of it. I mean, you look at, for example, Biden. Why is he putting $122 billion to Ukraine and hasn't even tried to have peace agreement? When America itself is on its knees with the homeless crisis, the drug epidemic, but yet they throw $122 billion to a foreign country. Why?
Mike, here's the problem. Here's the problem once we start judging presidents against the standards of other presidents. It becomes a, if I stick my hand in the fire, would you stick yours in after me, kind of argument. Why not just judge him against the standard of what he has allegedly...
No, absolutely. I'm in agreement. Judge him on what he's doing now. But the problem is the media bandwagon is specifically on this case. There's never anything else. They're not on about slow Joe Biden and what he's done in Ukraine. Nothing is mentioned about that. And that is huge. That's way worse. The amount of people have died in Ukraine by a proxy war from the States, funded by $122 billion.
Michael, Putin invaded Ukraine. Joe Biden didn't.
Yeah,
come
hold on a second. You have to look at cause and effect. I'm against Putin as well. It's terrible what he did. But NATO was pushed and pushed. And they promised in 1984 not to extend its borders to Russia. And they went against that. They're facts. Now, yeah. Putin's wrong, 100%. Shouldn't do what he does. Should be in jail. Absolute mass murder. But you have to look at cause and effect and everything. And the Americans are, by default, pushing Russia into a nuclear war. And anybody can see that. It is well known. It's obvious. Nancy Pelosi...
All right, no. Okay, well, let's just unpick a little bit of the logic of what you just said there today. Because today is the day, by coincidence, as it would happen, that Finland joins NATO. Now, I'm guessing from your read of the situation, that is once again NATO pushing and pushing against Russia and expanding its borders and moving closer and closer into Russian territory.
And not
a democratic decision of a democratically elected government in its own best interests to join NATO.
I don't have an issue with that, but what people have to know is it's not done on face value. If you look at everything the Americans have done, it's imperialism outreach from 1909, annexation of Hawaii in 1890 up to present day. They're responsible for a lot of stuff, and stuff comes home to roost. And Americans have pushed other countries on a whim, right? And people are going to get annoyed, and there's going to be retaliation. The promise is not to extend and NATO borders over to Russia, which was done.
But Michael, it sounds to me like you're excusing Putin here and saying that the balance of sin lies on the US side.
No. I do not excuse Russia or Putin. He's a mass murderer, 100%. But I look at the overreaching, everything that has been done in the pure context of why it's been done. Russia was poked. And they responded, and they shouldn't respond. It's no excuse. I'm not making an excuse, but you can't just go in and say, you put your hand in and a dog bites your hand. The person goes, well, what were you doing? You have to ask the question.
And is it your contention that if Donald Trump was still in office, had actually legitimately and fairly beaten Joe Biden, that Putin would not have invaded Ukraine?
Yes,
I don't know, because nothing changes, only the masters. And Donald Trump would have been, you know, held from the background by someone. And it would have happened, in my opinion, because it's been happening since 2014.
So.
And not just remember that also. I mean, they want to have a peace accord in 2014 that was lambasted and sunk by foreign entity. Look at the pipeline. You're telling me Russia blew up its own pipeline, but they could have turned the tap off? People believe this crap. People believe that, oh yeah, Russia blew up its own pipeline. No, the Americans obviously did it. And who's Americans getting their gas?
Is the preponderance of evidence there now, not at this stage, that it was actually the Ukrainians did it? But neither of us.
And there was actually war games going on in the Baltic Sea at the time. People need to read and not stop listening to the media. There was Russians, there was Polish and German war games in the Baltic Sea at that time, a week up to it. And then he went to
That's according to the Seymour Hersh article, but there has also been updated information published more recently that has pointed in the directions of the Ukrainians having a case to answer that.
Either way, you
and I are not going to resolve this one here now. 51551, I want to bring in another voice here. David Fitzgerald, good afternoon. How are you?
Hello, Philip. How are you?
Where are you calling us from, David?
I'm calling you from Brooklyn in New York City this morning.
And you did vote for Donald Trump.
Trump Circus.
Home of the Trump Circus.
Say again?
You voted for Mr. Trump in the past?
Our family were Trump voters in 2016, yes, but not the second time round.
And what was his appeal in 2016?
His appeal was he was different than previous politicians. He claimed to be a fabulous businessman, which everybody believed at the time. He made a lot of statements about putting America first, you know, which any, you know, right thinking person would agree with, and everything that was pro-American that he mentioned was positive. But you know, 4 years later, if you rewind and just think what the guy has done in the last 4 years.
Yeah. Just come back to 2016, though, and where you were at and why you felt that your interests weren't being served by any of the more traditional Democrat or Republican presidential candidates.
Well, it wasn't so much that. It wasn't so much that we didn't want to vote for the business as usual. It was more that what Donald was saying was putting this country first and treating this country like a business, as opposed to the typical, you know, politicians' statements about things that are going to happen, things they're going to do. There was no substance behind them. At least the substance behind what Donald was saying was stuff that everybody wanted to hear. And that was primarily, I think, why he got...
Okay. And what had happened in your background, David, in the course of the last couple of years running up to that? I mean, had you seen your own standard of living go down?
I would say no. The biggest thing that I have seen since Donald Trump was president here is divisiveness. Even amongst my own friends here in New York, there are people that don't talk to people because they're not Trump supporters, you know. And then there are people who get only their news from, you know, a few news outlets and believe everything they hear on those news outlets, and then argue and debate with their friends and end up not talking to their friends. So I would say the biggest thing would be divisiveness is what I'd say.
And you didn't see or you didn't have any inkling from the way that he campaigned in 2016 that that was going to be what his presidency would end up being like too?
No, not at all. Not at all. Because, I mean, it became clear the kind of individual that he is, you know, the way he behaves, you know, in international events and affairs. You know, it just became clear the kind of person he actually is. More of a person who wanted to be a dictator, really, than a president to lead people. That's just my opinion, by the way.
Okay. Are you embarrassed now talking? Well, obviously not if you've called us from New York, but you're not that embarrassed. But have you any cause for regret of the way you voted in 2016?
Yes. I mean, he did win a substantial vote in 2016. Most people voted for him, and he was the president. So we had to eat that one. But there are many people who voted for him that I know as well in 2016 that did not vote for him in 2020 and will certainly not vote for him in 2024.
And do you know anybody who will vote for him in 2024 if he gets the nomination?
Oh, I do. Yes, I do. I know plenty of people. Where I live in New York City, the people, a lot of the people are city employees. They work for the fire department, police department. They love Donald Trump. They love Donald Trump. I mean, you know, he could do no wrong. They believe everything they read that's positive about him, refuse to believe negative news articles. won't watch CNN because they claim that's fake news. You know, told them that.
And what happens socially now, David? Is this just the conversation that everybody skirts over and says, you know what, let's not go there because I like Paul or I like Frank or whoever it is? Or is it heated? Is it divisive all the time?
No, it's all the time, still all the time. I could tell it once. Anybody, I was at an unfortunate gathering for a memorial the other day, and somebody I know started to talk about it. And right away, I told him, listen, I'll give you my opinion, and then that's the end of it. One sentence, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. But the Trump, as we call them, the Trumpers over here, they want you to engage in the conversation so they can spew the facts that they have. And it really, really turns into arguments. So I, as a rule, I don't do it at all.
Okay, well, give me a helping hand here, David, in refereeing this three-ring circus today. When somebody comes out with something that is very, very obviously completely made up and fabricated or outlandish and untrue, what do you do? How do you cope with that now? Do you just smile politely and move on, or do you call them out on it?
I do something that, like you just did a few minutes ago or 10, 20 minutes ago. I think of a person who will give me a fact that he thinks is a fact that I know isn't. And I ask him, where did you hear that? And he'll say, social media or something like that. And I'll say, well, exactly where on social media did you hear that? He goes, I don't know, some post. I said, that's not news. That's not news. Therefore, you can't tell me that's true. You can't prove that it's true. And I'm not going to discuss that with you. And I stop the conversation. And that's it.
And do friendships end over this, David?
Yes, none of mine, because... But I know people who refuse to talk, who have been friends for a long time here. They just no longer speak with their friends because of their differing views and opinions on Donald Trump.
Okay.
You can't even imagine living over... Well, maybe you could. It's almost like it's like cult status to be a member of that group. That's a fact. It really is.
All right, David. Thanks for your help and thanks for your call. Take care of yourself.
All right, Phil. Take care.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Let us draw breath, count to 10 if you have to, and move on to something else that's probably going to get your blood up just as much. We were talking, we've been contacted, we've seen discussion very recently again on social media in relation to the cost of a holiday at home versus a holiday abroad. One person, Stephen McGrath, was suggesting or pointing out that he wanted to do two nights in Dingle in a couple of weeks' time, but everything that he was looking at was in the 500 to 600 euro bracket, which for two nights was just a little bit too steep for him, and he ended up booking four nights in a four-star in Albufeira for 450 people, including the flights, for €2. He says no value in going away in Ireland at all. It's absolutely stupid pricing. I have no idea if those prices are absolutely correct, but they do kind of ring true. Tom Randalls, good afternoon. How are you?
Hello, Philip. How are you?
Owner of the Randalls Hotel in Killarney. Are we comparing apples and oranges there? Is it a fair comparison, Tom?
Well, it's very hard from somebody's tweet on social media to really comment. I mean, I don't know, is it a four-star hotel with a suite in Dingle on a bank holiday weekend versus is it a four-star self-catering property that maybe he's had to pay for now, whereas the hotel in Dingle, you can cancel it 24 hours beforehand. So I think it's important that if people are going to make comparisons here, that they truly compare like for like. Well, and oftentimes I see these conversations and I worry that they're not comparing like for like.
If I was to try and book now today for Randalls in a couple of weeks' time, two nights, what's the best price you're going to be able to do me?
We would have rates. Let's look at.
Well, let's talk about a week. Let's talk about a weekend rather than midweek as well.
Yeah, you're going to pay anything from 160 to 180 euros a night. We're a four-star deluxe property. We're located within 5 minutes from the town centre. But just before I came on, I had a quick look at tonight. You can book a 3-star hotel in Killarney for €115. You can book a 4-star hotel in Killarney for €125. And bear in mind, this is Easter week, and there's also a very large Irish Dancing Championship. So I do think there is value, you know. I mean, I think I would encourage people to book ahead. And, you know, people shouldn't pay something that they don't want to pay. They should shop around. They should contact hotels directly. If you contact a hotel directly, oftentimes you will get a preferential discount. You might get a complimentary breakfast. But I suppose my point here today is that people really, you need to compare like for like. You know what I mean? It's like, if I am to book an ad on your show versus if I book an ad at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to pay a whole lot less for it. So shop around. And, you know, if you're not happy with the price, book elsewhere. I would encourage that.
I know, but you can see where the like-for-like thing breaks down here is that if, again, Stephen's pricing was right, he was getting his transport included in this, he was getting his bed and board for two people, and it was coming out at, what is that, €90 more expensive than what you're telling me I would only get bed and board in your hotel in Killarney.
Look, there's no doubt he's got a fantastic deal. I think he should share with us all so we can book it. But you will always get deals like that, you know what I mean? Does he have to pay for it in advance? I would assume for him to get that deal, he has to pay for it today. Whereas if he books a hotel, he can cancel it 24 hours beforehand. You know, that is a factor. You know, you will get special deals. They're always there. There's special deals at Irish hotels as well. You have to look at destination. You know, and if I was, for example, to compare the town of Macroom next week to the city of Marbella, Marbella is going to be 4 times as much, 5 times as much. And, you know, I could have the comparable argument. So really, you have to compare like for like. How far is this hotel? You know, you have to compare like for like.
Is there increased demand and obviously as a result increased cost or price because of the number of Ukrainians that you've had to house in Killarney?
If I look at the numbers of Ukrainians in Killarney, there's a lot of the Ukrainians that are in Killarney are in venues like there's a converted hostel. There's a converted nightclub, so I don't see increased demand because of the Ukrainians that are being housed okay. here.
So they're not in the guest houses, they're not in the B&Bs at the lower end of the market, no?
They would be. No, they're really in the bigger properties. There's probably two hotels in Killarney that are housing Ukrainians that might affect the supply. One of those is coming back into supply. The other two hotels, you know, again, there's over 40 accommodation providers in Killarney. And yes, while you might look at the peak months of maybe July and August, it affects supply, but outside of those months, it doesn't. There's plenty of quiet periods, you know, outside of July and August. Does July and August fill? Absolutely, it does. But can you book July and August today? You absolutely can as well. So again, I would encourage people, book in advance and, you know, and maybe go outside of Killarney. There's lots of other areas.
Well, that was actually my next question to you. And correct me if I'm wrong, smack me down, put me back in my place. But my impression would be that Killarney is significantly more pricey than, say, well, Dingle, where he was looking, or anywhere else in Kerry. Is that right and is that fair?
I'm going to put you back in your box. Killarney probably has a hotel supply of around 40 hotels in excess of 10,000 beds. So what you have in Killarney is you have a huge supply of accommodation from hostels to 3 stars to 4 stars to 5 stars. So because of that supply, I think that Killarney offers great value. If you look at towns around the country that are in high demand, you know, for example, Lahinch or somewhere like that, that might have 4 or 5 hotels, a much smaller supply, and that supply gets absolutely filled up in July and August, where really it's rare that Killarney fills, even the busiest of weekends. So there's always supply there. And as you know, supply keeps the price down.
It absolutely does, Tom. But putting my countrywide hat on, my other job, I'm able to find accommodation when I need it for, where was it? I was in, it's in the West. I got a €35 room midweek. No breakfast, but €35. Killarney's not going to beat that, is it?
In what type of an accommodation, Philip?
It was a lovely ensuite double room. There was only me by myself, but a lovely big bed. It was a room above a pub, but it was midweek, so it was quiet enough.
I think you will get similar. I mean, in midweek in January, February, March, November, December, you will get bed and breakfast accommodation, maybe with or without a breakfast for that price. But again, you have to look at the time of year and you have to look at what you're paying for. So, you know, I would imagine you will find a room like that in Killarney. Again, the supply of accommodation in Killarney is huge, you know, so there's, depending on the time of year. Now, if you're going to come for a Saturday and a bank holiday weekend in August, is it going to be more expensive? It is, you know what I mean? But there's great value. There's lots of supply. And I would encourage people to go onto websites, book direct, but there's lots of value to be had out there. And, you know, maybe just not in the town of Killarney. You can go outwards. There's Castle Island. There's a lovely town in Stowell. Tralee has lots of hotels. So, I mean, if you want to explore Kerry, you don't necessarily have to be in Killarney. I'm not here to defend Killarney or anything like that. But, you know, what I am here to say is that people, if they're going to make statements on social media and if the media are going to pick up on them, that they really need to compare like for like.
Okay, it is a bit of an apples and oranges conversation. It's a hard one to find an exact like for like. And I suppose also the big imponderable question here is the flights element of that. And should we be flying for a 3 or a 4 night break when you could do exactly the same thing here with a much smaller carbon footprint? Is that not a selling point for you and for your industry? And why don't you shout more about it?
Well, funny enough, what's happening there is Killarney does a lot of conference and event business, and you find that the trend now is if somebody is going to Killarney for a conference, an international conference for 4 days, they will say, well, you know, I'm going to go for the conference for 4 days. I'm going to reduce my carbon footprint and I'm going to add 4 days onto my holiday there. So that's the reduction of the carbon footprint. So that's one way we're seeing it. And of course, you know, we'd love to see people stay in Ireland, but I mean, it's natural people are going to want to go to the sun. But again, as I say, I think, you know, I'm familiar enough with booking hotels in Spain. Oftentimes, again, in the prime locations, you're going to look at hotels. They're 250, 300, 450, 500. They're eye-watering sometimes. So this is not, you know, and again, if the media carries stories in this country about hotels charging those amounts of money, you know, I'm not comfortable, though.
I mean, because what happens is at those key kind of crunch points, those popular weekends away, we see the prices going up from a long, long way off in the distance.
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, again, if you contact the hotel directly, I mean, I see this coming Easter weekend, there are plenty of rooms available in Killarney, you know what I mean? There is value to be had. Again, I'd say this is Easter week.
I know, but Tom, I'm not going to do it now because there's a problem with my internet connection, but I bet that if I went onto your hotel and looked for the St. Patrick's weekend 2024, it would be considerably more pricey than the weekends either side of it.
You know, St. Patrick's weekend, funnily enough, is not a busy weekend in Killarney. Is it a little bit busier beforehand? Is it a little bit busier afterwards? Yes, it is. But everybody goes to Dublin for St. Patrick's.
All right,
weekend.
Okay. I picked the wrong one there. Let me rephrase that and let me go for the Maybank holiday weekend. Will I not see a jump in price around the
top? You will. Absolutely.
And how can you justify that?
Well, if I was to book advertising with RTE today, will I pay the same price in your show as I will at 11 o'clock tonight?
Because we know that this show is going to be more popular today, tomorrow and the day after than it will be at 11 o'clock at night. You have no idea what the popularity of or what the demand is going to be like for the Maybank holiday weekend in 2024. From here, you're just charging a premium on the basis that there's more likely to be greater demand.
That's correct. I'm not going to say anything otherwise. But on the Monday of a bank holiday weekend, you can get great value.
All right.
You know, and there's lots of people out there that are, you know, there's a lot of value there to be had if people choose to look for it. You know, I would encourage people to shop around. Don't spend too much in a hotel room. Book direct. There is value to be had there. Book in advance. You can always remember, with a hotel, you can cancel a hotel at 24 to 48 days out, to 48 hours beforehand. You cannot do that. If you book a package holiday in Spain 12 months out or 9 months out, you cannot do that.
Fair, you know what I mean? Fair point. Fair point and well made. Let me bring in Joseph here. Joseph, good afternoon. What is it you wanted to say?
Good afternoon. How are you? No, I had a recent birthday there in the last couple of weeks there, you know, significant birthday. So My daughter tried to book 3 nights in Killarney. She knows it sent me Mrs. Lovett down in Killarney for the 25th, 26th and 27th of April. Bed and breakfast. And it came in at 1,045 for the 3 nights, midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. So she said that was out of the question, and I absolutely understood that. So she said, hang on, and I'll see what I can do for you. Come back with something else. So she came back and said, well, the best we can do for you is we'll include 2 evening meals. And but the price was still the same, 1,045 for 3 nights.
Don't tell me the name of the hotel. Joseph, don't tell me the name.
No,
but hang on.
I won't mention the hotel, no.
Okay, don't. But tell me, how many stars was it?
4 star.
It was a 4 star.
Yeah.
1,045 was the absolute best they were going to do, and the only thing
absolutely
they would do is throw in two meals.
2 meals, yeah.
All right. So what did she opt to do instead?
She booked us in to a hotel in Salou for 4 nights. 4 star hotel or 5 star hotel, I'm not sure, in Salou. For flights, accommodation, half board, €600. Flying out, €600 for the 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th, home Saturday, for €600, flights, half board, and flights included.
You see, Tom, you see what the problem here is? I understand what you're saying, that we shouldn't be comparing apples and oranges, but for Joseph or for Joseph's daughter, it's a holiday versus a holiday, and one costs 1,045 and the other costs 600 and appears better.
I do, and I find it amazing that a 4-star hotel in the end of April in Killarney is charging 350 a night bed and breakfast. I'm very aware of what the hotels charge. If he said it was a suite in a 5-star hotel and he was booking direct, I would sort of say, yeah, that's probably around right. But for a 4-star hotel in a standard bedroom, to be charging 350 a night now, and one of those nights is going to be a quiet night. It's going to be a Sunday or it's going to be a Thursday, so maybe even there's a Saturday. I would be off to saloon myself, you know. So I would genuinely be off to saloon myself, you know. And Joseph, is it a 4-star hotel that you have booked in Salou as well?
It's definitely a 4-star hotel in Salou, yes. But you could be right. I think it is a 5-star hotel in Killarney. I think you're right, to be honest.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
But we go there every year. Now, I'm not certain it's a 5-star, but I think it could be. But I'm obviously not going to name the hotel.
All right,
know,
but
I like the hotel.
If you've been there in previous years, how big a leap in price Joseph, is 1,045?
Massive. Absolutely massive. It's 50%, at least 50% of an increase. I was there last year.
And did you stay in
September?
Did you stay in the same kind of room, the same suite?
Oh, yeah, same hotel, same suite, the whole lot, you know. You know what I mean? They offered a deluxe room. Well, I mean, I didn't really care about the deluxe room. Sent me visits, just stay in the room, be head off for the day, come back, have a meal, head out. You know, the luxury room didn't mean anything, you know, to us whatsoever. Just wanted a double room.
Please do, Tom.
Joe, I wondered, did you just out of interest shop around in Killarney? I mean, if it's midweek, if it's the end of April,
no,
I can certainly point you out to accommodation. You can get 150 less. You're dead right, because I was telling
a friend of mine in Kerry, and he said to me, and he named 2 hotels that was way cheaper. To be fair about it, one of the hotels came in around €500 and the other hotel came in at €600.
Okay. So there is better value to be found.
Specific hotel. There is better value to be found.
But let me ask you a question, Tom. If Joseph has his numbers right on 2022 versus 2023, is there any justification for a 50% price hike?
You know, unless if there's a specific, is it possible there's a specific event on in the hotel and it's the last room? Again, it's down to demand, but it seems like a phenomenal price for, I mean, the end of April isn't even, it's what we call mid-season. So it seems like an awful lot of amount of money. And he said it's not a weekend, it's midweek.
Okay.
Seems very high to me. But again, people should shop around.
I know, but the live line worker bees have been busy in the background there, and they've confirmed that actually Joseph was in a 4-star and not a 5-star that has gone, you're saying, doubled in price. Sorry, not 50%, a doubling in price to 1,045 in the interim. All right, Joseph, thank you very much. Tom, thank you very much. We're going to take another break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Hello, Winnie. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, good afternoon. How are you? All good.
What did you want to say about Kerry?
Nothing personally against Kerry. Nothing against the gentleman that was on there, but I am sick and tired about Kerry, Kerry, Kerry. It's always Kerry. If you want to compare prices in Ireland, you always have somebody from Kerry on. I just think there's better value to be had in Donegal.
I was going to hazard a guess that it was Donegal you were going to say there, Winnie, from your accent.
It's just, I've been listening and I say, here we go again, Kerry, Kerry. And he keeps saying, compare like with like. Fair play to that man for going to Slough. I would do that as well. But for 600, you're saving 500 euro. And the way things are today, you need that 500 euro.
And there's many a reason to go to Donegal as there is to go to Kerry. Inishowen Peninsula, one of my favourite places in the country.
Oh, but that's exactly where I'm from. That's where I'm from.
Well, I'm saying all the right things then, aren't I?
You are, yeah.
But how does it compare on price? Because I assume you're not staying in too many hotels or B&Bs where you live.
No, well, I live in Dublin now, but, I mean, there's hotels in Inishowen. You could get a night accommodation for 99 euro with breakfast.
What star of a hotel do you think that would be, Winnie?
That would be, I won't say the name, it would be a 3-star, 4-star probably.
For 100 euro or just under 100 euro?
Yeah, you would get that if you're looking. And not like the gentleman said, oh, you have to compare like for like. Or, you know, they always justify charging 300 euro. That, to me, is just, I wouldn't pay that.
But, Tom, it does seem in some respects, doesn't it, that Killarney is a bit of a victim of its own success.
Yeah.
That demand, sorry, Tom Randall's from owner of Randall's Hotel in Killarney is still with us on the line, Winnie. That Killarney is a bit of a victim of its own success, that demand has created price inflation.
Well, Winnie, firstly, I love Donegal, and I'm sorry I didn't mention Donegal. And I would love if Donegal got, if Kerry wasn't always in the firing line.
A career in the diplomatic service awaits you, Tom Randalls. Well done.
No. Look, the whole West Coast, the whole of Ireland, I'm talking about the whole of Ireland. I'm not talking about Killarney, I'm talking about compared prices. But again, Philip, I would go back, because there's so much supply in Killarney, yes, it's very busy and there's a lot to do here. But that supply for 8 months a year far outstrips the demand. So again, you know, there is so much supply. There's great value in a number of, from hostels to guest houses to 3-stars, 4-stars to 5-stars. And I would absolutely agree that, you know, there's great value throughout this country. You know, I mentioned the Stole.
What I'm saying is that Kerry is at a different point, or Killarney specifically, is at a different point in its tourist evolution, and that demand has created something of a magnet effect, which has the other knock-on effect then of increased prices and less value than you will get in the Inishowen Peninsula.
Again, it's all about time of year, but I mean, I can point out to you when you can get a hotel. Again, I said tonight you can get a 3-star hotel in Killarney for 115 euros. And I know that if I was to book that directly as opposed to over a website, I'd get 15 to 20% off, or I get a free breakfast. Now, that's an Easter week when there's a national dancing championship.
I'm sorry, and how do you do that? Should we be haggling with the person on the bookings?
How I do it is I go onto a bookings website, I go onto bookings.com, I look at the prices, and then I call the hotel directly and I'd say, can you take off 10 or 15%? Which, by the way, if we spend 100 euros through bookings.com, 20 euros of that goes to a company based in Amsterdam. It doesn't go into the Irish hotel sector or back into the Irish economy. That goes straight to Amsterdam. So I would certainly much prefer to give a discount to a customer booking me directly over the phone or on our own website, okay, as opposed to bookings.com and give it to a company in Amsterdam. So I would encourage people,
get off
their value
the internet
online.
Get off the internet and talk to a real live person. All right, Tom, thank you very much. And thank you very much, Winnie. Take care of yourself. I have to take our last break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.